Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson.
Hello, this is David North.
Hi, this is Andy Atwell.
And we're welcoming you to Come Let Us Reason Together. We're a group of friends that have gone out door knocking together and talked to people about the Lord. And I usually say, hello, my name is Gilbert, and this is my friend Andy, and we're here to tell you about God's kingdom. And that's where that name came from. And it's not about me, it's not about Andy, but we have to let people know who we are. And then the main idea is to tell them about God's kingdom, which is eternal life, and to invite them to join us in eternal life. Anyway, we've been looking at a little puzzle piece that said, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And we found out that that didn't tell us much. The very last podcast we did, the last radio show, we did some discussing about who's talking. It's John the Baptist and where he was. It even tells you where he was. Where was he, Andy?
He was in the wilderness of Judea, and he was in the region around the Jordan River.
Okay, and it says, you shall witness in Jerusalem and Judea and to the ends of the earth. So the gospel preached in the New Testament began in Jerusalem and Judea and to the ends of the earth. And here is John obeying that. He's not going out to the ends of the earth. He's not going out to some other place. He is in Judea. The center was the temple area. That's where men worship God, was on the temple grounds within the temple. And he began in that region in Judea. And he told them something, Andy.
He told them to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Okay. And what did Isaiah tell John the Baptist to do?
He told him to prepare the way for Jesus and to make his path straight.
So he was a way preparer for Jesus. He was a road builder.
Yes.
He's an engineer. Do you have one of those plastic hard hats on?
No, he had a leather coat and a leather belt and a camel's hair coat and a leather belt, and he ate big grasshoppers and wild honey.
Doesn't sound like an engineer to me.
He was not.
Oh, okay. And we're reading this because this is a full puzzle piece. Before it just said, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and we're showing you, if you read the full puzzle piece, you can't read a verse at a time and come to the truth. It's just way too small, and any denomination can make it say whatever it wants to say. I've observed ministers teach something, and if they don't agree with it, they just skip over it. And they were cut to the heart, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then they said, and they were saved. They totally skip over the next verse because it disagrees with their religion. I've heard them do it. And so we have to read the full scripture, all the verses, all the context. So now we're looking at a puzzle piece to put a puzzle together. The Bible is a puzzle that's made up of big pieces. It's a childlike puzzle because Jesus said we must become like little children. If you try to approach this like an older person, like a mature man, and you put together the Bible like a 500 or 1,000 or 2,000 piece puzzle, are you going to get the true gist of the Bible if you start that way?
No.
No, I wouldn't say so.
It says, desire the pure milk of the word. You got to start off on milk to begin with. First, you start with a big piece, and then you can detail it later. God allows that.
Well, sometimes going into too many subjects at one time can kind of make a person's head spin.
And Jesus says to come as a little child. So if he tells people to come as a little child, and they show up, and we're standing here with 5,000 puzzle pieces, we're kind of missing the point, aren't we?
Yes.
Yes.
Anyway, why don't we read this again, but let's concentrate after he brings the message. We read that one little tiny puzzle piece, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. But again, for those that are hearing this for the first time, Let's read Matthew 3:8 in the full light of its context, verses 1 through 12. And why don't you discuss after that, Andy?
Okay. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' And John himself was clothed in camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, 'Brood of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father," for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire."
Hey, Andy, can I repent?
Yes.
I told you to just focus on the last part, but how about giving a real brief on the first part, but then key in on after that verse, "Bring forth fruits meet for repentance." Because if people have heard this radio show before, but we're starting again, maybe
okay,
give them a brief description at the beginning, who's talking and so on, but go into more detail after the verse.
Okay. This is starting out with John the Baptist, and he was preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and he was telling people to change their mind or repent, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand. And then he said that he was sent to prepare the way of the Lord and to make his path straight. And he was clothed in camel's hair and a leather belt. He ate locust and wild honey. And locusts, by the way, they're grasshoppers. And all the people in Jerusalem and Judea and all the region about the Jordan went out there to see what he was talking about. And they were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing that they had sinned.
Andy,
yes,
a friend of mine, actually Ray's son, Robin, decided to ingest a grasshopper because he read this. But he learned he had to pluck off their legs because he decided to eat one raw.
That scratched his throat?
And it flicked him on the tongue and hurt his tongue, his little feet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm sitting there watching him going like, "You're not going to." But he did. But he learned his lesson.
Okay. And in verse 7 in Matthew chapter 3, it says, "The Pharisees and Sadducees," and we discussed before that they're the religious leaders of the day, "they came out to his baptism." And by the way, a real famous Pharisee would be somebody you read about a lot in the Bible, the Apostle Paul. He was a Pharisee.
Now, did he change his mind?
He did.
What happened to him?
Well, he was going out of Jerusalem, all the followers of Jesus. He had it said in his mind that they were wrong, and that he was going, and he had letters to go out to bring them back to prison. Some people were to be put to death, but he was bringing them back to prison. And he was going along the road, and a bright light shone. And he said, basically, "What do you want, Lord?" And he was blinded by that light,
now,
and that was Jesus talking to him.
How bright was this light?
Brighter than the sun.
And the light was who?
Jesus. Jesus told him, "You'll be told what you need to do. You're going to suffer many things for my name's sake." And that's another story, but basically he couldn't see for 3 days, and God sent a person to him to tell him what to do.
A religious leader had to change his mind.
A religious leader, Paul, had to change his mind.
How much? Just a little bit, or?
3 days and three nights, Jesus let him think about this until apparently he had changed his mind, and then he sent somebody to him.
Was he doing anything else? What was he doing during that 3 days?
He was praying and not eating. He didn't eat anything.
Did he drink?
No.
It was that important.
Jesus got the religious leader's attention by blinding him.
Or maybe showing him he really was blind.
Or showing him that he was Lord.
That's a good way.
Yes. Anyway, so, and then the first thing that John the Baptist tells the religious leaders when they're coming out there, he calls them a brood of vipers. So he told them who they were. And he says, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come, and that they needed to bear fruits worthy, like they had changed their mind. Their life needed to change according to what he was telling them. And then in verse 9, I'll throw this back at you, Gil. In verse 9, he starts saying something else. Would you go ahead?
Well, I'm going to go back on this thing with fruits. In the scriptures here, there's nothing that says anything about them. So far, if I'm just picking up the Bible for the first time, do I know what these fruit are?
No.
Do I know much about this word repentance?
Not too much.
Okay, so maybe there's some more, and we'll get into that next. I'm baiting you to come back.
You are.
Am I?
Yes. Well, the word repent in the Greek, God had the New Testament written in Greek, and it's the word metanous, and basically it means to change your mind. John is telling the religious leaders that they are a generation of people that bite and give the wrong information to people that could kill them, and he's telling them that they have to change their mind. If you look in verse 2, the first thing is the word repent, which is change your mind. And then when the religious leaders show up, he says, change your mind again. This is the second time he said, change your mind in this one context. Sounds like changing of mind's going on here.
I think there's one at the beginning, one in the middle, and one at the end.
Yes, there is.
So there's a whole lot of repenting going on here, right? Or
yes.
Should be.
Yes.
There should be a whole lot of repenting. And changing of the mind. Now, Andy wanted me to talk about this. Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Our lineage is through our man named Abraham. Don't think to say that anymore. For I say to you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Well, my father's a rock. Well, God getting, well, interesting. Jesus is the rock. He's the stone. And that's a whole another subject. I can't wait to talk to you about that, about standing on the rock, and he'll hide us in the cleft of the rock. But anyway, this stones, God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. God could do something miraculous. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. And what is going to be chopped down here, and it has been chopped down, is the family tree of the priesthood that led to John the Baptizer. He's chopping down his own tree, Andy.
Yep.
He is watching his tree being chopped down. He will be the last priest, and he is doing a perfect job because he's bringing forth the perfect sacrifice for mankind, Jesus. And this is going to be the end of the family tree of men priests. And it's going to bring in, the axe is laid under the root of the trees, therefore every tree which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down. This family tree with men being priests, was it bearing any fruit?
It must have not been.
You know, it's more than the story of Jesus coming to the fig tree and finding no figs on it, is it? Isn't
it? It's about men and about fruit.
It's about a tree that is not bearing fruit, and it's all about this priesthood that just is not bearing fruit anymore, because it's time to be replaced. God knew this in his infinite wisdom and foresight and foreknowledge. He's provided for all this. He's made provision. This did not come by accident from God. It came all by design, that he had a better way. I believe the Old Testament way was there with all the slaughtering of the animals. I know this offends some people about doing these things to the animals, but I believe it was there to show the ugliness of sin. To say, when you wake up in the morning and say something really nasty to your wife, they had to go slaughter an animal. It showed how ugly what you did was. Did you know we're coming to a day, and I'll say this to you, people that don't like animals mistreated and so on. I don't either, because it says a righteous man takes care of his animals, a righteous man. And in the new heaven and new earth, there will be no more death. We will not be meat eaters. If you're a vegetarian, you're a little ahead of time here. But in the new heaven and new earth, we will not kill or harm animals anymore. The first animal that was slain after the creation of Adam and Eve happened to atone for Adam and Eve's sin. Otherwise, they'd be lost. God showed the ugliness of sin through the sacrifice of animals, shedding of blood. But that is, the axe is laid to the tree, And every tree that does not bring forth fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So the family tree of Abraham, now the axe has been laid to that, and Jesus died on the cross, and he makes us now part of his family tree. I'm the vine, you're the branches.
So to the religious leaders, he called them a generation of vipers. He told them to bear fruits worthy of changing their mind and to not think that their way was going to make it, because he could just make rocks do it if they didn't want to. And at the very end of this, it says that every tree that doesn't bear good fruits cut down and thrown in the fire. So his message to them was, if they didn't change their mind, they would be part of the trees going to the fire.
And what kind of fire? There's a word in front of it that modifies it there, Andy, that tells you what kind of fire it is.
The last verse, 12, unquenchable fire, it's an asbestos fire. It's a fire that doesn't burn up.
Oh, I forgot that.
It keeps burning.
Oh, really?
Is that what you were wanting?
No, but that's
okay.
Better.
Okay.
I like that. See, the truth doesn't come from one. It's witnessed by many. And Andy goes and studies things the Lord leads him to study. The Lord leads David to study different things, and me, other things. But we have about 200 friends that do this all the time. We're always reading in the Bible every year, and we're looking at the Greek and the Hebrew. And that's another way to look at Gilbert and Friends. It's just a name. It's not about me, but it's all of us friends. That word friends in the Greek is phileo, and it means actually brothers. Or when you write a letter and you go, dear David, you're saying phileo David. When you use that term dear, next time you write a letter, think about this. You're saying, I love you like a brother. You're my brother.
Are you thinking of that city even that we have in this country called the City of Brotherly Love? Is the city called Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Which has the word phileo and then Adelphia in it?
Uh-huh. But dearly beloved, I think in that case it is phileo agapeo, dearly beloved. So it's combined. You even become closer brothers when you have that godly love. When you write dear on your letter, that word, that English word, is conveyed many times in the Bible, and it's phile. You're telling that person, I love you like a brother. And if you don't like him, maybe you shouldn't put dear on there. You go, hey, you. Really, if you want to be true to what your letter is saying, you're telling them with that word dear that they're a brother to you or a sister.
So the close fondness,
yeah,
of friendship and brotherly intentions towards one another.
Now, we started talking about this thing about, we brought other scriptures into, we're going to segue on from full puzzle piece. We looked at a little tiny piece that just bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. Boy, I've sure learned a lot here. I've been reading this for 40 years, and I even learned some things today about asbestos fire and so on from Andy. And this is where we get together. We sit around, and it's best not to have one person. You could have a person moderate, but I know people like to get around, and they like to be the leader. He's leader this, leader that, or whatever. But when you get together, come let us reason together. That's what the scripture says. It's interesting the things that can come out, but when you look at the big puzzle piece, look at the difference in looking at bring forth therefore fruits, meet for repentance, John the Baptist talking. He's close to Jerusalem in the wilderness of Judea. His message is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the main message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's proclaiming a king. Matthew proclaims Jesus as king. Mark has another message. The first New Testament is proclaiming Jesus is the king. And the king is coming, and he's coming in glory. And then it's at hand. How far is at hand? How close is that, Andy?
That's present. Once we talk about some more puzzle pieces as time goes on, you're going to see what I'm saying here. Is that if everyone could stick out their arm from their body, how far away can your hand get?
Like you're going to shake hands?
That's at hand.
That's at hand.
Amy, that's at hand.
We're holding.
Right there.
Well, I wouldn't tell people we're holding hands here, but like
but
you shake somebody's hand.
It's really close. It's right at hand, right there. So John is saying the kingdom of heaven was right within his hand.
Within grasp.
Within grasp.
And so apparently it's not right there. He's not sticking it on you. It's within grasp because he had to do something Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So there's instruction that goes, you've got to do something. And these religious leaders were told to repent and bear fruit. And so that's what we've learned from that one Bible context. So you folks out there, I'm going to challenge you to no longer read verse by verse. And I know a lot of people like to study verse by verse. They go through the Bible, but when you do the method of studying verse by verse, what can that leave open? Let's say if I explain one verse at a time and don't look at this full context, can I maybe manipulate that and get people to believe in my particular denomination?
Oh, absolutely. Keep people ignorant and you can control people.
What happens if you know the truth, David?
It says the truth will set you free.
Do we see freedom in the New Testament?
Absolutely.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
It says that in the Scriptures.
The perfect law of liberty. You mean I can go learn by myself over here? I need the fellowship and the friendship of other believers, but how about if I spend time in the Bible? Do I always need somebody yammering in my ear telling me what that means?
That's almost like saying that God can't speak to you except through just a man. And yet we know God uses men that are led by the Holy Spirit, but they have to be Holy Spirit filled. But nonetheless, certainly God can speak to an individual.
You know, lately I have been going out talking to people, and in the temple, God is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven, and we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you go to the holy place, there's three pieces of furniture, and there is the menorah, which is the candlestick that's lit, and there's seven lights on there, and it would shine up and shine across to the table of showbread. And also at the veil that was ripped top to bottom is the altar of incense. And we know those to be through the Bible, that the menorah is a lamp or a light, and the word of God is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet. And the table, we meet at Jesus' table and have communion with other believers. And then the altar of incense, our prayers go up before God like a sweet-smelling savor. Two of those things that we do, we are to do to a daily abide and weekly abide with God, are private. Reading the Bible is private, and the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth in the Scriptures. Our prayer is to be in private. We are to go into our closet. Only one in communion are we to meet with other believers. We don't always need noise and other people around us. We need our quiet time. So I'm challenging people to read their Bible alone and in quiet, and to pray it into their lives and to seek it out and to keep your minister straight. You guys ever straighten me out?
More than once.
No, we do. If you're seeing a brother do wrong, you're actually doing him a disfavor by not correcting, and the brother should love it. He should love it when he knows more of the truth.
Well, I know when I'm teaching, and if I get a little off track, just I'm human, you know, sometimes you do. And somebody says, well, what about that other scripture that says that? I really am appreciative of that, because the last thing I want to do is teach someone untruth.
Lopsided even. Maybe your scripture is right, but it's lopsided when you hear one site. Now, we're going to go into this more, into mate scriptures, and we'll see you again next time, but may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, Post Office Box 66149, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87193. That's Box 66149, Albuquerque, 87193. Or call us at 480-205-3346. That's 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."